Welcome to Gemara Markings, and welcome to Maseches Menachos. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Mishnah. Kol hamenochas shenikmetsu shaloi lishmon. Ksheros elo shalo olu lebailim l'shem choiva. All meal offerings whose handful, the kemitza, was taken with incorrect intentions, the mincha is kosher, is acceptable. However, the owner, the person bringing this particular meal offering, since he took upon himself the bringing of this as a vow, he has not fulfilled his obligations, and as a result, he'll have to bring another meal offering. But when we say that the mincha that was done with incorrect intentions, namely low lishma intentions, we say it's kosher, that means that after the handful of the meal offering, the kmitza, is placed on the mizbeach, and burnt in the fire, the remainder, the shirayim, is acceptable for eating. In other words, the remainder, the shirayim, the kohanim, will eat that which remains of the meal offering after the handful is removed. This halacha, that the mincha done shelo lishma, with incorrect intentions, is kosher, this is true for the broad range of menachas, chutz mi minchas choyte u minchas kenos, with the exception of the meal offering, which is a sin meal offering, and a minchas kenos, this is the meal offering brought by the woman who is a sota, in other words, a married woman suspected of immoral relations with another man. In that case, in the case of the minchas chote and the minchas kenos, if it is processed shaloi lishma, then the mincha is posel, is entirely posel, and the remainder, the shirayim, will not be consumed. Minchas chote u'minchas kenois shekomtzon, and we have now in the Mishnah, you can see numbers 1, 2, and 3. The Mishnah will be featuring or focusing on the case of the sin offering, the sin meal offering, and the minchas kenos. With regard to the element of lo lishma, how lo lishma, or how injurious lo lishma in fact is to these menachas. So the Mishnah points out that a minchas chote, a minchas knos, shekomtzon, one, shelo lishman, or nosan bekli, the kemitza is the first stage of the mincha, as far as its the processes, procedures needed to it be, to its required for its offering. A handful is removed. After the handful is removed, there's a nasina bakli, that's a placing of the handful in a service vessel, in a kli shares. The holach is holacha, the carrying of the kemitza, the handful in the kli shares, to the mizbeach. The hiktir, the burning of it on the mizbeach. If any of these stages are done shelo lishman, the korban will be pasul. Continuing, oi lishman v'shelo lishman, or he does any one of these acts with a mixed mindset. He thinks lishman, means he has intent. He has an intention for. He has a directed intention, a correct directed intention. Hence, that's called lishma. But he mixes in with his mind. He mixes in his mindset a low lishma thought as well, meaning an intention other than directed on the korban or the owner. Another possibility is shaloi lishman v'lishman. He has in mind something other than the minchas chote, and in addition to that, he has the minchas chote in mind. Again, 2 and 3 are examples of mixed machshavas. In 2, the first thought is actually focused, is correct, is lishmal. In case 3, the first thought is lo lishmal. But either way, since in all of these cases you have an element of lo lishma as well, that causes it to be puzzle, and that's what the Mishnah says, psulos. Ketzad, the Mishnah here will focus now on the two cases of mixed intention, namely cases 2 and 3, and the Mishnah now reviews them. Ketzad lishman v'shelo lishman, what is an example of processing the korban minchas chote with a lishma and a low lishma intention? So the example is l'shem minchas chote u'l'shem minchas nedava. He takes the handful or any of the other stages, the nosan b'kli or holocha or haktara. He does any one of those with a mixed mindset, whereby he has in mind the lishma, the minchas chote, that's the focused mindset, the correct mindset, plus he has in mind a non-minchas chote, meaning a voluntary mincha, which is not what he's doing. That's the case of minchas nedava. So in this, in any particular stage, he thinks both minochas, first minchas chote and minchas nedava. That's called lishma v'shelo lishma. The next example, shaloi lishmon v'lishmon, how is that? This was the third case that the Mishnah cited above, and here it explains it. And once again, we're dealing with a person who is in actuality bringing a minchas chote, but his first thought is not on the minchas chote in this case. He has in mind l'shem minchas nedava u'l'shem minchas chote. That's the case of lo lishma and lishma. In all of these cases, though, the incorrect mindset, the lo lishma thought, ruins the minchas chote or minchas kenois. The opening Gemara focuses on the appearance of a word in the Mishnah, the word Ella. Before we get into the Gemara itself, let's take advantage of one of the features of our marking system, our marked Gemaras, the Shas Ozer. We have topic headings that we provide as new sugyas appear. In addition to that, when geometric forms or special notes need to be made concerning structure, we also provide a heading in the outside margin called Mivneh, which is a structural comment. In this case, we want to glance at the topic heading, the nosei, that you notice in the outside margin. Mincha shenikmitza shaloi lishma. A mincha whose handful was taken from the bowl of meal offering, and it was done without the focused intention on the particular mincha that he is doing. Even though the owner does not fulfill his original vow, the mincha itself will be viewed as acceptable as a gift offering. The osur la'asois hemshicha avoides bekavona psula. However, if he did one of the early avodas with a low lishma intention, that is not license for him to continue doing the subsequent activities with a posel, with an incorrect, with a low lishma mindset. That's the basic topic at hand. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Lama li lemisna ella. Why does the Mishnah have to use the word ella in the opening line? We have a little arrow, you'll notice, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, that tells you to parallel the arrow with a previously noted arrow. And if you see the first line of the Mishnah text, there's also an arrow, and we've dashed, underlined the word we want to draw your attention to, namely the word Ella. At that point, the Mishnah had said, "Kol menachos nikmasu shelo lishman kshos Ella shelo alu lebailim shem chova." The Gemara suggests a shorter text, and we always strive for brevity in learning, provided, of course, we maintain clarity. So the Gemara asks over here, why do you use the word Ella? Listeni, you could have stated velo olu lebailim l'shem chova, namely that a mincha that was done shelo lishma is kosher. Velo olu lebailim l'shem chova, you'll thereby save yourself the word Ella. You don't need that. Instead of saying shelo, we simply will say velo olu. And we would have gotten the idea across that a mincha that's done shelo lishma is kosher, but the owner doesn't fulfill his vow, the obligation he accepted on himself, and have to bring a replacement one. So that, once again, why does the Mishnah use, or what do we gain by the extra word Ella? So the Gemara answers, we gain by the extra word a teaching, a law that was expounded upon by Rava, as we'll see shortly in the Gemara. Before we read in the Gemara itself, we want to just point out that we are about to start a long answer. The long answer marking appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. You'll notice the tuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line that follows. That means we want you to note that all of the lines till the end of this long answer marking are pertinent to the answer. And you'll notice that this takes you to the top of Amud Beis. So the Gemara answers, Ha Kamashmalan. The following is what we learn from the presence of the extra word in the Mishnah. Lebailim hu delo olu lishum chova. Ha mincha gufa kshera. The owner doesn't fulfill his vow that he had accepted upon himself in anticipation of bringing this meal offering, but the mincha itself is kosher, the osur lishnuye, and it is forbidden to proceed with the next stages of the mincha offerings. We mentioned, we saw four stages, the kemitza, the matan bekli, holocha, and haptora. So it's forbidden to, after the kemitza was done, let us say with an incorrect, a non-focused intention, it's usher to continue the subsequent stages with unfocused, incorrect intentions. Kidarava, based on Rava's teaching. The Omar Rava. Ola sheshachta shelo lishma. Here, Ola Rava's original rule was not stated directly with regard to a mincha. It was taught in the context of an animal sacrifice, but the same principle applies. Rava said that an ola sheshachta shelo lishma, an ola sacrifice that was slaughtered without the proper intention, without the focused intention. In other words, someone was, while he brought an Ola offering, he was thinking about that he's slaughtering it as a different kind of sacrifice. So we say, Osir Lizrok Doma Shelo Lishma, that when he comes to the Zrika Saddam stage, just because he shechted it shelo lishma, he does not have a right to do the blood application, the blood sprinkling, the zrikas adam shelo lishma. Okay, we say it's true you started off incorrectly, but don't continue doing things incorrectly. Iboy is emo svara, iboy is emo kra. If you like, I can provide a logical explanation for this, or if you prefer, I can provide a scriptural reference. Notice we've noted this as Aleph and Beis. The Gemara now elaborates on each point. Ibois Amos Svara, if you prefer, I can give you a logical reason for this. Mishum de Meshani Ba, just because you did a little bit incorrectly, Meshani means change. You changed it from the focused intention. You changed, you veered off that which you were supposed to have in mind. Just because you did that, Kol Hani Lishni Ba Venezo, does that give one a right to do the following stages incorrectly? No. The boy is same across. And if you prefer, we can show you this in a scriptural form. There is a pasuk that, in and of itself, the pasuk appears to be difficult. We should point out before we read the pasuk, there are going to be two expressions that we will be focusing on. One is the term neder, and the other term nedava. A neder is a vow where a person accepts upon himself the obligation of bringing a particular type of korban. It's a personal acceptance. A nedava is a situation where you identify a particular animal or item and say, I am bringing this item as a gift. So the case of neder is, as we say, personal obligation, and it's pointed out in other places, in Maseches Megillah, for example, that the difference between a neder and a dova is, in the case of a neder, if something goes wrong, you still have a personal obligation to make good on it. In the case of a nedova, if something happens to the animal, it is not offered, so there's no obligation to make good on it. And that's because the obligation was not a personal acceptance upon oneself, a personal obligation, but rather the identification of the item as a gift to be brought. So Rava's teaching will be illustrated in the following pasuk, or we'll say the resolution of the following pasuk. It says, "Moitzos fasecha tishmor," that one is obligated to heed his vows. V'yosiso kasher nodarte l'Hashem Elokecha nidava. We've dashed underlined the two words that are the central point here. We're describing someone who had accepted upon himself a neder, a personal obligation. So the last word of this citation, the word nidava, doesn't fit in. So the Gemara asks with wonderment, nidava, neder, who? That we're talking about someone who had accepted a personal obligation, not someone who identified an item to be brought as a gift. So why does the word nedava appear over here? Ella. So the resolution is, im kemo shenadarta. We should point out in general that when we see these type of parentheses, we generally speaking will not be reading, we will be skipping the text that's therein, and these are based on the alternative readings that you find in different Meforshim, in Maseches Menachos. Most likely it will be coming from the Shita Mekubetzes, but not exclusively. So here we are pointing out that the pasuk that used the word nedava when we were talking about a neder is as follows. Elohim kemo shenadarta osi. So yehi neder, if you processed the sacrifice as you originally had accepted upon yourself the obligation, then yehi neder, that means you have fulfilled your vow and you have no further obligations. V'im lav, if you did not process it according to your original obligation, if one, let us say, obligated himself in the bringing of an ola, and he processed it with a different korban in mind, with a different sacrifice in mind, yehei nedava, then we will categorize the sacrifice at least no worse than a nedava. Unedava mi shori v'shnuye ba. And if one were to, let us say, bring initially a nedava, where he identified an item as a specific kind of korban, would one have a right to change, to do things lo lishma in a nedava? Certainly not. And therefore, we see from here that if you started off a korban with an incorrect mindset, that does not give license to performing the subsequent stages also with an incorrect mindset. At this point, you'll notice in our markings a slash. That tells us that that which follows is not related in any direct form to that which we have just discussed. So, in simple terms, this is a new topic. Before we begin the Gemara itself, let's take advantage of our topic heading that you find in the outside margin, the Nosei. Lemo masnisin delo k'Rabbi Shimon. We want to suggest that our Mishnah is not in conformity or does not parallel Rabbi Shimon's approach to minochas that are done shelo lishma. We continue in our introduction in the outside margin. Mincha shenasto shelo lishma, a mincha that was processed with an incorrect mindset, l'mishna seino, according to our Mishnah, k'shera avol lo olu l'baylim l'shem chova. Though it's acceptable in the sense that the shirayim, that which remains after the handful is taken, can be consumed by the kohanim, as opposed to the case of a mincha that's completely pusul, there the rest of the mincha is burnt, is destroyed, and not eaten by the kohanim. But we learned in our Mishnah that with the exception of a minchas chote or minchas knois, minochas, if done shelo lishma, they are kosher, but the owner has not fulfilled his vow and will need to bring a replacement. That's as far as our Mishnah is concerned. Now, we also note the fi Rabbi Shimon, gam oilim lebailim l'shem chova. Rabbi Shimon appears to be very lenient and says that a mincha that's done shelo lishma, even though it was done shelo lishma, apparently his mindset is of no consequence, and the owner fulfills his sacrificial obligation. The Gemara itself, when we get into the text, you'll notice a long question marking. That's indicated at the top line. You'll notice to the right-hand side of the Gemara text a shin that's encircled with a vertical dashed line that follows. That indicates that all of the Gemara text that's opposite the vertical dashed line is pertinent to the question. Once again, the main question is, it appears, or should we suggest, or should we conclude, that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon. And as we mentioned, Rabbi Shimon seems to say that owners will fulfill their obligation, even though the mincha was done shelo lishma, as opposed to the Mishnah, which indicated that the owner will not fulfill his obligation. Before we get into the Gemara itself, we're going to have to say a few more words of introduction. The Gemara will essentially say that there is a faint possibility of setting up our Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon if you accept the approach taken by Rav Ashi in a subsequent sugya. In the subsequent sugya, we will see the Gemara raises a contradiction between two sources involving Rabbi Shimon, and drawing from the information that Rav Ashi provides in resolving that particular stira, that particular contradiction, if we adopt his approach, we can actually end up setting up our Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon. However, in the efforts to resolve that particular contradiction that we just mentioned in the subsequent sugya between two sources of Rabbi Shimon, we see Rabba and Rava also offering solutions or resolutions to that contradiction, but information
drawn from Rabba and Rava's resolution, the Gemara will say, cannot be used in order to align our Mishnah with Rabbi Shimon. So that when you get to the end of this long question, you will notice the Gemara says, Ela l'rabba v'rava machvarta masnisin delok Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabba and Rava, it will most likely appear that our Mishnah cannot be set up like Rabbi Shimon. Let's turn to the Mivneh heading that we have in the outside margin. We are going to end up repeating ourselves a little bit, but the repetition in this case will only enhance clarity. So if we look at the Mivneh, the structural note in the outside margin, we point out there's our 1 and 2 are appear in the Gemara that are encircled. Mispur Brisos. These numbers will be used for counting or for denoting two Tanaic sources, Letzurich Hemshech HaGemara, that will be, the numbers will be useful when we get into the continuation of the sugya later. Heora, we want to point out, Bahemshech, in the further Gemara, in the continuation, HaGemara Tatsig Stira, the Gemara will present a contradiction between Shnei Brisos to Rabbi Shimon. Contradiction between two Tanaic sources authored by Rabbi Shimon. Kidei liyashev stira zu, in order to resolve the contradiction between the two sources. Nidroshim Rabba Rava Rav Ashi, the forces of Rabba, Rava, and Rav Ashi will be needed, will be summoned. Shemuvoyim Bagemora ad Gimel Amid Beis. The preoccupation with resolving the contradiction in the two Rabbi Shimon sources will occupy the Gemara until Gimel Amid Beis. That's a way off from over here. Al pi tiruso shel Ravashi, li shuv astir Rabbi Shimon, bilvad, according to Ravashi alone, in his resolution of the contradictions between Rabbi Shimon, so according to Rav Ashi alone, nitan lahamid mishnasenu gam kerbi Shimon. We will be able to set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon. However, as we pointed out before, according to Rabba and Rava, we will not be able to set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon. We will see a marking later in the Gemara, a volcano form, or trapezoid, which will be of significance later when we get to it. As we look at our page, we notice a Tanaic source at the top, and you can see in that source Rabbi Shimon's name appears and is circled. And about halfway down the page, you notice there is another Tanaic source with Rabbi Shimon's name circled, and we're labeling that as number two. These two sources actually, at first glance, appear to be contradictory. Using the markings, without getting into the text itself, we will point out the contradiction right away. You'll notice four lines from the top to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, there is an arrow. It's pointing to the line in which it says V'olu l'baylin l'shem choiva. That is the point at which Rabbi Shimon will appear as saying that a mincha dun shelo lishma, where the handful is removed from the bowl in which the mincha is brought, the handful of meal offering is removed, the kmitza, where it's done shelo lishma, Rabbi Shimon says, doesn't matter, the owner thereby fulfills his original vow, even though he is declaring the Kohen, who's processing the Korban, declares it as something else. Compare that to the next arrow you see on the page. This involves your need to skim down the left-hand side of the Gemara text, and it brings you way down, more than halfway down the page, to the next arrow, which points to the last line of a source that, once again, is authored by Rabbi Shimon, because you can see in that source Rabbi Shimon's name appeared in a circle. But the line that the arrow is pointing to, it says, V'eino meratzeh. The expression eino meratzeh means that even though the mincha is kosher, eino meratzeh, the owner does not fulfill his obligation. And that source is also addressing the issue of a mincha done shelo lishma. So, four lines from the top we saw, mincha shelo lishma, according to Rabbi Shimon, the bailin, the owner, fulfills his vow. The second Rabbi Shimon source indicates owner does not fulfill his vow through a mincha done shelo lishma. That is contradictory. Rav Ashi will eventually say, and the original source, or the source in which where Rav Ashi appears, is actually on Daf Gimel Omid Beis. Rabbi Shimon, Rav Ashi appears there about almost halfway down Gimel Omid Beis. We have appropriate markings in order to make it available for you to spot him. Rav Ashi there offers his resolution. The Gemara here, interestingly, is quoting, and here we're on the base of the base, is quoting from Rav Ashi that appears for the first time, so to speak, on the Gimel Amid Beis. It's almost as if we're living above time. So the Gemara will tell us that according to Rav Ashi's resolution in this contradiction, Rav Ashi simply says that if the kometz was done without using the word mincha, we noted in our written note at the beginning of this Masichta on Beis Amud Aleph that lo lishma, machshavas shelo lishma, incorrect mindsets, are really a function of something stated by the Kohen himself, the Kohen who is processing the Korban. He declares or announces that which he's doing. So Rav Ashi will tell us that if in processing the mincha, the Kohen does not say the word mincha, he simply says, he simply uses the name of the vessel that the mincha is ordinarily brought in. For example, an owner brings a mincha that's baked on a flat pan. It's called a machvas. A machvas is a flat pan. And the Kohen says, I am taking this as a marcheshes. Marcheshes is a deeper type pan. He doesn't make any mention of the word mincha. In such a case, he just mentions the vessel, that it's a meaningless declaration. And as a result of being a meaningless declaration, because after all, people, it's true that the mincha is baked in these different kinds of pans, but the pan is not the offering. And here you have the Kohen saying, I am doing this as a marcheshes, when in fact it's a mincha that's eventually to be baked on a machvas. But he doesn't mention the word mincha at all. That's considered an empty remark, and as a result of that, it's meaningless. The Kohen's incorrect mindset is meaningless. And as a result of that, the owner fulfills his obligations. Olu l'baylan l'shem chova. However, if the Kohen announces that this sacrifice that he's working on, which originally was brought, it's brought as a minchas machvas, and he says, I am doing it as a minchas marcheshes. He uses the word mincha in his declaration. So Rav Ashi says, in such a case, that ruins the owner's chances of fulfilling his obligation through such a korban. So, with that in mind, with this Rav Ashi approach in resolving the two Rebbe Shimon sources, our Mishnah that said that the owner does not fulfill his obligation, that's because he mentioned the word mincha. Reb Shimon, in the source that was cited at the top of this Amid, Reb Shimon there that says that the owner does fulfill his obligation in a case of lo lishma, that's very simply because the Kohen, in processing the mincha, did not use the word mincha in his lo lishma statement. He simply cited the name of the vessel, or we'll say the incorrect vessel in this case. Let's start the Gemara. The Gemara from the top. Leimu masnisin de lo k'Rebbe Shimon. Should we say that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Shimon? Desanya, we have the following source. Rebbe Shimon Omer, kol hamenachos shenikmetzu shelo lishmon. All menachos. And Rashi adds to this list even a minchas chote, a sin offering, or a minchas kenos, that the handful was taken with an incorrect mindset. Ksheros, v'olu lebailim l'shem chova. The shirayim will be allowed to be consumed. That's what we mean by the mincha being kosher, and the owner fulfills his obligation. She'ein hamenachos domeis lizvochim. Menachos are different than animal offerings that are slaughtered with a knife. The word zvochim has to do with animals slaughtered by a knife, as opposed to, by the way, bird offerings, which are killed with the Kohen inserting his thumbnail to the back of the neck of the bird offering. That's called malika. The information we're mentioning now will be of value later on. But in the meantime, Rabbi Shimon is saying that menachos are different than zvochim. In the case of zvochim, we know that if it's done shelo lishma, the owner does not fulfill his vow in that case. By menachos, though, Rabbi Shimon says that the story is different. And he explains, Sha'akimetz machvas l'shum marcheshes. A person who takes a handful of a mincha that's done on a machvas, and it's declared that he's doing it as a marcheshes, ma'aseho mochichin oleo l'shum machvas. The way it's going to be processed shows that he was lying. That when he said he's doing a machmas, when we see it's processed as a marchet, or let's say a machmas type mincha is brought, and the Kohen declares that he's doing it as a marcheshes, but we see that it's processed as a machmas. So it's obvious to us that he was lying. So the Maisa, the way it's processed, overrules, so to speak, that which the Kohen had declared. Chareva l'shum blula. A person is bringing a dry mincha offering. Dry mincha is a reference to a korban. Minchas chote or minchas knos, these were minochas brought without the standard oil addition that's characteristic of most minochas. So a minchas chote is being brought, and the Kohen says he's doing it as a blula. Blula literally is mixed together. That's a reference to the oil that's mixed into the meal offering. Well, ma'aseh mochichin oleh shi chareva, when we see it actually produced or processed without oil, we see that it was a chareva, a dry type mincha, and the declaration that the Kohen made that he's doing it as a blula is of no meaning. you have, as we just mentioned, we have the action that is able to cancel or overrule the stated intention. Avol, bizvachim eino kein. When it comes to the processing of a korban, of an animal offering, the saying does not apply. And the reason for that is, shchita achas lekulan. All animal offerings are slaughtered the same way. Uzrika achas lekulan. V'kabola achas lekulan. They all have blood sprinkling, and they all have blood receipt in their respective in the vessel, the Kabbalah Sadam. It's the same Kabbalah Sadam for a korban shlomim or a korban ola. It's the same basic zrika sadam, without getting into any details at this point in our sugya. It's the same zrika, it's the same shchita. So we don't have an action to demonstrate what the real identity of the animal offering is. And then in that case, we're left only with stated intentions. So if the stated intention doesn't match what the original vow was, so in the case of animal offerings, we say that the lo lishma causes it to be, causes a situation where the owner does not fulfill his obligation. At this point, we see Rabbi Shimon telling us that a mincha that's done shelo lishma, not only is it kosher, but olu l'baylun l'shum chova. Our Mishnah said that a mincha shelo lishma, although it may be kosher, the owner does not fulfill his vow. It would seem then that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara goes on to say, ha nicha l'rav Ashi. Things could work out according to Rav Ashi. When we say things could work out, we can end up saying that our Mishnah does conform to Rabbi Shimon. According to Rav Ashi's approach in resolving the contradiction between the two Rav Shimon sources. How did Rav Ashi resolve the two Rav Shimon sources? The Omar, Rav Ashi had said, Kan bekoimetz machvas l'shumar cheshes. The source in which Rav Ashi says that olu means that the owner fulfills his obligation, that's when the incorrect intention was stated without using the word mincha. In other words, the Kohen said, I am doing a marcheshes, when in fact it's going to be baked on a flat pan. So we see that it's that the intention is overruled by the action. The maisa is mochiach what it really is. But we really have to emphasize that in this case where he said, I'm doing a marcheshes, he doesn't mention the word mincha. He doesn't say, I'm doing a minchas marcheshes. He just mentions the vessel. In that case, the mindset, the stated intention is of no value. However, Kan, the second Reb Shimon source that says that a mincha dan shelo lishma, though it's kosher, the owner does not fulfill his obligation, that is in the following case, b'kemetz minchas machvas, l'shum minchas marcheshes. The Kohen declares that I am doing a minchas marcheshes, when in fact it is a minchas machvas. In that case, we say that the owner will not fulfill his obligation, because the Kohen used the word mincha in his declaration of lo lishma. With that resolution of the two Reb Shimon's in mind, Mas Nisan, our Mishnah that said lo alum labaylim l'shem chova, can work out like Rabbi Shimon, because our Mishnah is describing a case of mincha l'shum mincha he, where the lo lishma declaration involved the use of the word mincha in his incorrect declaration. Ela l'rabba v'rava ma'ikol ha'meimar. But according to Rabba's method of resolving the Reb Shimon sources, and according to Rava's method of resolving the Reb Shimon sources, what is there to say? Meaning, would there be any possibility of setting up our Mishnah like Rebbe Shimon? V'chi teima hidakol meshani Rabba. If you try to say, well, like Rabba resolves the Rebbe Shimon's, and how does he resolve the Rebbe Shimon's? He says, Kan b'shinui kodesh, the owner will fulfill his obligation when the incorrect declaration is focused on the type of mincha. That's called shinui kodesh, where you change the identity of the item. In your change, meaning you declare it as something else. That's as far as the identity of the item. Then we say, well, the way it eventually is processed shows that what you were saying was a lie, and that will certainly overrule the incorrect statement. Kan b'shinui bailim. This is a new idea. Rabba tells us that the Reb Shimon source that said lo alu is a case where Reuven was bringing a korban, and the Kohen said, I'm bringing it this as Shimon's korban. That's called shinui bailim. In such a case, the mindset has an effect, because according to Rabba, you don't see any action that repudiates the change. So, going over Rabba's resolution, when is it so that Reb Shimon will tell you lo alu? That's only in the case of shinui bailim, where Reuven is bringing in the Kohen, says he's doing it with Shimon in mind. But if it's shinui kodesh, if the Kohen announces a change in the identity of the korban, there Reb Shimon says, well, that's a joke, and therefore the owner fulfills his obligation. Yeah, but the problem is, Ha Masnisin, our Mishnah that we're focusing on right now, remember, we're asking, can our Mishnah conform to Rabbi Shimon? Our Mishnah that said that a mincha shelo lishma lo alu, the owner does not fulfill his obligation, is talking about a case of shinui kodesh. Our Mishnah features cases of shinui kodesh. Well, according to Rabba, what's Reb Shimon's stance where there's a shinui kodesh? We just saw, according to Rabba, where there's a shinui kodesh that takes place, Rabbi Shimon says the owner fulfills his obligation. According to our Mishnah, when there's shinui kodesh, the owner does not fulfill his obligation. Dikotani. The Gemara points out that in fact our Mishnah featured shinui kodesh. It said in our Mishnah, Ketzad lishmon v'shelo lishmon, l'shum minchas chote, l'shum minchas nedava. Here you see a case of shinui kodesh. The case, of course, was in our Mishnah where a person was bringing a minchas chote, and the Kohen processed it with a dual mindset. He was changing in his statement. He was changing the identity of the korban, the identity of the mincha. He wasn't changing the identity of the owner, and yet our Mishnah said, even though there's a shinui kodesh, lo alu l'shem choiva, the owner doesn't fulfill his obligation. Rabbi Shimon says, according to Rabba, where there's a shinui kodesh, the owner does fulfill his obligation. So, according to Rabba, it doesn't seem like there's any chance of setting up our Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon. V'inami kidakol meshani Rava. And if you like, maybe according to Rava's answer, let's check that out. How does Rava resolve the Rebbe Shimon contradiction? He says as follows: Kan b'koymetz mincha l'shul mincha. When does one fulfill his obligation? When he does a mincha and states his incorrect intention, by using the term mincha, simply describing a different kind of mincha. There, it's olu lebailin l'shem chova, according to Rava. And that, of course, we will have to wait and see. That's the sugya later on. We have to, when we get to that, Amir Tzashem, on Daf Gimel Amid Beis. So the case of Mincha Lishum Mincha is, he takes a handful, let us say, of a Minchas Machvas, and he says, I'm doing this as a Minchas Marcheshes. This is all a function, and Rashi points that out as early as on our Omid here. There's a pasuk that says, Zos Torah HaMincha, and from that, Rava learns, Torah Achas L'chol HaMenachas, sort of like a term, that all Menachas are the same, so to speak. And therefore, Olu L'baylin L'shem Choyva. Kan, the Rabbi Shimon source that says, Lo olu l'baylim l'shem chova, that's a case of b'koymetz mincha l'shum zevach. He's taking the handful of the mincha as an animal sacrifice. That is a mindset, an incorrect intention that does take effect, and hence the owner does not fulfill his obligation. So according to Rava, Rabbi Shimon will tell you that the owner is yotze his obligation when you do the mincha with a stated other mincha in mind. What does our Mishnah say about a case of mincha l'shum mincha? Well, our Mishnah says lo olu. The Gemara points out ha masnisin. Our Mishnah that said lo olu l'shem chova was in fact a case of mincha l'shum mincha hi dekatoni, as is illustrated by the following quote: shelo lishman ulishman. A person is bringing a minchas chote, and there is a mixed mindset of shelo lishman with lishman. How is that? L'shem minchas nedava, l'shem minchas chote. So our Mishnah features a case of mincha l'shem mincha. As you can see, and we've actually noted with our dashed underline, he uses the term minchas nedava as a minchas chote. That's mincha l'shem mincha. And the Mishnah says lo alu. According to Rava's understanding of Reb Shimon, a case of mincha l'shem mincha, alu l'shem choiva. Therefore, elola Rava v'Rava, machvarta masnisin delo k'Reb Shimon. According to Rava's resolution of Reb Shimon's, and according to Rava's resolution of the Reb Shimon sources, machvarta, it is most likely that our Mishnah does not work out like Rabbi Shimon. As you can see, we have a slash mark. At this point, the Gemara now focuses in on the Reb Shimon contradictions. The reason for the slash mark is to indicate that up till this point, the Gemara was preoccupied with a different issue. The Gemara was preoccupied with the issue of, can our Mishnah be set up like Rabbi Shimon? At this point, the Gemara presents the contradiction in Rabbi Shimon. So this is a new activity, even though we had to draw on information provided in this sugya in order to gain some understanding of the previous discussion. Before going ahead in the Gemara, let's take advantage of our topic heading in the outside margin. You notice it says, no say. And we also have an indication that this goes until Daf Dalid Omid Aleph. What do we see? Yishuv Stira Rabbi Shimon Binyan Mincha Shinasto Shelo Lishma. We are going to be occupied with attempting to resolve a contradiction in Shitas Rabbi Shimon with regard to a mincha that is done with an incorrect stated mindset. Lefi Brisa number 1, kosher v'olo l'baylim l'shem chayva yotza yedei nidra. According to Braisa 1, a mincha that's done shelo l'shma, the owner actually fulfills his vow obligation. Lefi Braisa number 2, kosher v'eino meratzeh. Braisa number 2 will have Rabbi Shimon saying that the mincha is acceptable. However, the owner, habaylin lo yoytzim yedei chova, the baylin does not fulfill his original vow. That's the contradiction. Let's now see that source, the Gemara. V'rami d'Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Shimon. So this is now source number 2. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kodesh Kodoshim hi kachatos v'chosham. This is a pasuk that appears in the context of a korban mincha. The pasuk says that it's a korban mincha is a high level holiness type sacrifice that's called Kodesh Kodoshim. It is like a chatos and an osham. The pasuk is paralleling the meal offering to an animal chatos and an animal osham offering. In what respect? Yesh mehem kechatos v'yesh mehem keosham. There are menachas that have characteristics of an animal chatos offering, and there are menachas that have characteristics of an osham animal offering. And this is explained. Minchas chote hare hi kechatos. A meal offering that's brought as a sin offering, that's a minchas chote, is like an animal sin offering that when done shelo lishma, it's completely pasul. A korban chatos, an animal chatos offering, as the first mission of Maseches Zvachim teaches, is pasul. Lefikach kamsa shelo lishma psula kechatos. Therefore, if a person took the handful of a minchas chote with an incorrect mindset, the mincha is completely ruined. Minchas nedava, a voluntary meal offering, done shelo lishma, harehi ka'osham. The minchas nedava is parallel to an osham animal offering. And what do we know about an osham animal offering? We know that if it's done shelo lishma, the animal, the offering is kosher, but the owner has to bring a new korban. Lefika kamsa shelo lishma. If a person does the kmitza of minchas nedava shelo lishma, kshera uke osham, and it's parallel to the animal offering osham. Ma osham kosher veinu meratzeh. Just like in the case of an animal osham offering, the meat is can be eaten by the kohanim, but it's not meratzeh. The owner does not receive his atonement through it, and has to bring another korban. Af minchas nedava kshera v'yeno meratzeh. So too, the minchas nedava, the voluntary mincha offering, if done shelo lishma, though it's kosher, the owner does not fulfill his obligation. Eino meratzeh. Once again, as we pointed out earlier, compare this comment with the comment Rav Shimon made above, where it said olu lebaylin l'shem chova. Here it says eino meratzeh, which is in effect saying lo olu lebaylin. Omar Rabba. Before we go further, we have a marking, a geometric form, a bow tie shape. And in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we have a Mivneh, and we also indicate Ad Gimel Amud Beis. This bow tie form will appear there also a couple of times. We have 1 through 3. Rabba represents Roman number 1. On Gimel Amud Beis, there will be a number 2, which will be together with Rava, and there will also be a number 3 for Rav Ashi. Lo kashya, you see this expression double underlined. This is where each one of the Rabbonim says that there really is no contradiction. Rabo, Rava, Rav Ashi, Miyashvim, Hastira, Rabbi Shimon, they will resolve this contradiction. So turning to the Gemara, Omar Rabba, Lo Kashya, the two Rabbi Shimon sources are not contradictory. Kan b'shinui kodesh, kan b'shinui baylim. the source in which Rabbi Shimon says Olu, that is a case where the Kohen processing the mincha declares the mincha to be a different type of mincha than that which it actually is. So that when we see it being processed, the action is mochiach, the mice is mochiach, that it is not that which was declared. So that we have the action, it's a tangible action that we can rely on to say this is what it really is, and that the comment that the Kohen made was a joke, was of no meaning. However, Kan b'shinui b'aylim, the case in which Rabbi Shimon says ein amaratze, is that the lo lishma there involved a change in who the owner is, in a of course a declared change. It's not an actual change. Ruvain is bringing a korban mincha to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen, when he takes the handful, he says, "I'm taking this as Shimon's offering." Well, in as far as when you look at the mincha itself, you can't tell whether it's Ruvain's or Shimon's just by looking at the physical meal offering. As a result of that, we don't have a maisa, an action, to overrule the incorrect stated mindset. And therefore, Reb Shimon says in such a case, lo olu l'baylim l'shem choyva. Omar le Abaye. We've circled Abaye's name. This is in anticipation of the Gemara on Daf, when we get to the latter part of the sugya. The Gemara will ask, why does each one of the Rabbonim not give the answer of the other one? And there the Gemara will point out that there are those that don't accept Rabbah's reasoning is really because of the kasha that Abaye raises. And we'll have to see with greater accuracy when we get there to refine this point. On Daf Dalid Amid Aleph, for example, we will see there that there are those that don't accept Rabbah's approach because of Abaye's kasha. So it's of some convenience, we'll say, that we note Abaye's name now in anticipation of the Gemara as far as Daf Dalet Omer Aleph, when a reference is made to this kasha. So Omar le Abaye. Abaye turns to Rabbah and says, "Michti, let's look into this. Machshava de posla rachmona, the fact that an incorrect stated mindset has a negative effect when dealing with a mincha, hekesha hi. It's an outgrowth of the fact that the psukim compare a mincha to a zevach. The mincha is compared to an animal sacrifice. And we know that in the case of animal sacrifices, incorrect mindsets ruin the korban. Ruin it insofar as the bailim don't fulfill their vows if it's done with an incorrect mindset. How do we know that that's the case by a mincha? Through a hekesh. Well, if that's the case, ma'li shinui kodesh, ma'li shinui bailim. Just like by a zevach, if there's a shinui kodesh, the owner does not fulfill his obligation. It should be the same case by a mincha as well, that if there's a shinui kodesh, the owner does not fulfill his obligation. And yet Rabbah told us, according to Rabbi Shimon, that with a shinui kodesh, the bailim does fulfill his obligation. Omar le Rabbah answers, Ma'aseha mochichin dika'omar Rabbi Shimon savorahi. The idea that the action proves what it really is, and hence overrules the stated change, when we see the mincha being processed as something other than that which the Kohen simply declared, we see what it really is. We can rely on the Maisa. The Maisa proves what it really is. That is a point of logic, of Svora. The Rabbi Shimon Dorish Taima de Kro. Rabbi Shimon is known for offering reasons for things that are stated in Psukim, in the Kro, in the Torah. And as we see as follows, it's true that Machshava can ruin a korban. However, and this is how Rabbi Shimon explains things, Machshava de lo min kura posa rachmona. An incorrect mindset, stated mindset, that's not obvious to us that it's incorrect. That kind of lo lishma has an effect. We don't have any fallback position. We don't have anything else to rely on other than that which was declared. And if it turns out that which is declared is false, that will ruin the korban, ruin it to the extent that the Bailin are not yotze. However, machshava de minkira, an incorrect mindset, stated mindset, that's clear to us that he's lying, that it means machazev. Machazev is a loshen you see in the Rashi, means to lie. A machshava, an incorrect mindset that is clear to us through the subsequent maisa, the way it's actually treated and processed, that the stated lo lishma was simply a lie. Lo posal rachmona, that kind of incorrect mindset is overruled by the maisim, by the actions that are done in processing the mincha. At this point, we see a bracketed section. We might point out that up till this point in the Gemara, Rabbah rests his case. He has, to his satisfaction, resolved the contradiction in Rabbi Shimon. The brackets here, even though in our marking system, brackets are used most often for the purpose of skipping during the initial learning in order to maintain a logical flow and not break up the text with side points and hence getting thrown off the topic. In this case, the role of the brackets is not primarily for that purpose, for skipping. However, if we do skip momentarily using these brackets, the closing of the brackets appears on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. And that you'll find at the top line of Gimel Amud Beis, after which you'll notice Rava in a bow tie form being the second resolution of the Rabbi Shimon contradiction, whereas Rava was in a bow tie, and we indicated Roman numeral number 1 to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. Here you've got Roman numeral number 2 for Rava, he resolving the contradiction in Rabbi Shimon's according to his approach. What's the story with the bracketed section itself? So before we go into the Gemara, we want to note the nosei, the topic heading that we have in the outside margin. You'll notice it indicates that this is a nosei basograyim, ad gimel amud beis, that this is a topic, we're going to give a topic heading to the information contained in the brackets. In the brackets we say the following. In our note we've written, Sidra shel kushyos. There's a series of questions. There are quite a few of these. And you can see with the numberings that we're eventually going to get up to 10. Sidra, there's a series of questions. There are questions, Al yisoidoi shel Rabbi Shimon, if he has ber shel Rabbo, shemachshava shenikir bo shu mechazev eino machshava. The principle that we were taught by Rabbo is that a machshava that's clear to us that he is lying, it's clear to us through the actions that are done to the sacrifice, Kagon she'oimer shu miskavin ledover misyom.
For example, he declares that he has kavon, he has intentions for some particular thing, some particular kind of korban.
Umaisav mochichin shu oisa dover achir.
And the action, though, proves that he's doing something else.
Mikol hadugmois shiofiu.
From all of the examples that will appear in the Gemara as we go on,
hagemara tenase laharois.
The Gemara will try to show the machshavosoi.
We will try to show that the incorrect mindset does have an effect, even though the actions seem to demonstrate that it is something else.
As we go on in the Gemara, it will be necessary to draw on information concerning korbanos from other places, primarily from sukkis that one sees and learns in Maseches Zvochim. So, for those of you who have the Zvochim background, especially being that this was the Zvochim was the Masechta just before our new Masechta, Maseches Menachos, much of this will be review. The Gemara itself has a simen that is provided in the parentheses. The simen is essentially an attempt to capture the each one of the cases that the Gemara will present in its kashas. So we after the bracket after the parentheses section, the Gemara says Elo Me'ata. Well, if what you said is correct, that a maisa that's mochiach, that the machshava was a lie, elameyato oilas ha'oif shemolka lemalo mishum chatas ha'oif teratze. An bird offering, an ola bird offering, whose malika, that's the slaughtering of a bird offering is called malika. We mentioned this before. It involves the severing of the neck with the Kohen's thumbnail from the back of the neck. That's malika. And ola sa'of, whose malika was done lamala, means on the upper part of the altar, of the mizbeach. That actually is the place that an ola sa'of is supposed to be done. An ola, when it comes to bird offerings, as opposed to animal offerings, you can always remember, you see the expression ola sa'of, remember that a bird flies up. That's just a way to remember that ola sa'ofs are done on the upper part of the mizbeach. So the Kohen did the malika of the ola sa'of lamala, and he declared, mishum chata sa'of, he declared that he was doing a chata sa'of. Teratzeh. The owner, according to what Rabba taught, the owner should be able to fulfill his obligation. Maaseha mochichen olea ola sa'of. These actions show that in actuality it's an ola sa'of. Yet the Mishnah teaches, within the context of the ola sa'of, that lo also, the owner does not fulfill his obligation. But yet, according to Rabbo's teaching, the owner should fulfill his obligation based on this concept of maaseh mochichin, that it's an ola sa'of. De'i chata sa'of, if it were really a sin bird offering, a chata sa'of, where is that done? Where is that processed? Lemato have a ovid law. That would have been done on the floor, on the lower part, meaning on the floor. The malika is done by a chata sa'of. Lamata. So don't we have a classic example of Maise Mochiach that he is lying? And according to Rabba, he should be Yotze his Chiyuv. And yet, the Mishnah teaches concerning this case, the Mishnah in the context of Ola Sa'ov, teaches that the owner does not fulfill his obligation. The Gemara answers, Atu Chatas of Lamalo mi lesa. Is it impossible for a chata sa'of to be done on the upper part of the mizbeach? Ha'omar mar, malika b'chol makom b'mizbeach kshira. If the malika of a chata sa'of is done
anywhere on the Mizbeach, even on the upper part of the Mizbeach, it's kosher. Therefore, what did we have? We had that which was actually an Olas Of. And we saw Malika done on the upper part of the Mizbeach. Does the fact that you have Malika done on the upper part of the Mizbeach show conclusively that it's an Olas Of? No, it doesn't. It might very well be a Chatas Of, which also can be done on the upper part of the Mizbeach. Therefore, you don't have a case of Maise Mochiach. You have a Machshava, which is not nicker that he's lying. And therefore, it teaches, in the context of the Ola Sa'of, lo also, that the owner does not fulfill his obligation. This, therefore, is Rabbah's response. I said, according to Rabbah, that an owner can fulfill his obligation where you have the action proving that the stated intention was false. Here, the action does not demonstrate that that his intention is incorrect. What about the next case? Oilas ha'oif shemitza domo lamalo l'shem chatas ha'of tiratzeh. Before we go further, we have to give a little background that in terms of the blood applications, when it comes to a chatas ha'of, the chatas ha'of has a double type of blood application. In other words, there is a sprinkling of the blood that's called hazah, that's done by a waving action from the distance, and after that, any blood that remains in the bird, so the bird neck is squeezed to the side of the mizbeach, and that's called mitsui. In the case of an ola sa'of, there is no hazah, there's only mitsui that's done. So we have this case, an ola sa'of whose mitsui was done on the upper part of the mizbeach with a declaration that it's a chata sa'of. The suggestion here is tiratzeh. It should be considered a fulfillment of the owner's original ola obligation. The action shows clearly that it's an ola sof. The I chata sofi, if it were a chata sof, lamato have ovid law. Its blood application would have been on the lower part of the mizbeach. The Gemara answers that what you see here is not conclusively done, it's not conclusive or exclusively Olas Ha'of related. Hazah, the blood application Amri Dilmo Mitsui de Boser Hazahu. The mitsui that we see done might very well be the mitsui that follows the hazah that's characteristic of a chatas ha'of. So the mere fact that we see mitsui being done on the upper part of the mizbeach does not show that it's not a chatas ha'of. What you see the mitsui done on the upper part of the mizbeach, that might be the mitsui that's done after the hazah. And we mentioned earlier, by a chatas ha'of, you have two blood applications. You've got the hazah, and then the remaining blood, you do the mitsui too. So when I come along and see mitsui being done to this on the upper part of the mizbeach, that's the mitsui that followed the hazah. The mitsui process that's done, even if it's done or it can be done on any part of the mizbeach. Therefore, we don't have a maise mochiach over here. So, as a result of that, I can say that the machshava is the only thing that you have here. You don't have a maisa to overrule it, and therefore, lo meratzeh. What about this case? Chatas oif shehiza dama lamata l'shem oilas oif teratzeh. An animal, a bird that's supposed to be brought as a chatas oif, and the hazoas hadam is done on the lower part of the mizbeach. And don't forget, a chatas oif has a hazoas hadam, and it's done on the lower part of the mizbeach. But the kohen declares that he's doing an ola. He's doing it as an ola sof. The owner should be able to fulfill his obligation. Why? The chatas oif. He. It's clear as day that this is a chatas oif. The ola sof. He. If it were an ola sof, lamalo have it ovid law umitzui have it ovid law. It would have been done on the top, and not only that, there would have been mitzui. In fact, there would have been only mitzui. And yet we see here, hazor is done on the lower part of the mizbeach, which is very characteristic, purely characteristic of a chatas ha'of. So in such a case, should it not be that the owner is yotze? So the Gemara answers, hachinami. In fact, Rabbi Shimon would be mode here that it is a totally kosher offering. Ella, lefi shein hamenachas domos lezvachim komar. All Rabbi Shimon said originally was that menachas are not like zvachim. Lezvachim v'lo le'ofos. Rabbi Shimon's distinction between menachas and other things was between menachas and zvachim. He did not say that there was a distinction to be made between menachas and oifos. Namely, just like in the case of menachas, you can have a situation of maise mochiach, so too in the case of a bird offering, you could have a situation of a maise mochiach, just like we saw over here. And when you have a maise mochiach, Rabba will tell you that Reb Shimon will say, you are yotze your obligation. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.